So Brother Chuck, you put before us here a nice, big, juicy piece of steak. This is really, really a good meal that we're going to have together. He mentioned a few things as he was speaking. So now I want you to get your fork and knife because we're going to start cutting things up here and just unfold them. Okay? He spoke about a period of time where God deals with man in a certain way, right? And we call that what? Beautiful. Dispensation. And he talked about the difference between that period of time where God dealt with Israel in a certain way. So at that time, God have a tabernacle, a temple, and that was his dwelling place among his people. That's the dispensation of the Old Testament. A physical place, a building, you could see it. It was decorated. It was beautified. Everything was physical, and they saw it there with their own eyes. Okay? Now, he told us that there is a dwelling place now in the New Testament. The principle did not change. The dispensations changed. It's still the same God. He's still the same holy God. He's still the God of order. Everything is the same. But now, the physical thing have changed. I think it was you, Brother Chuck, yesterday that said about the golden calf or somebody. It was a matter of sight. They need to see it. And right now, people are trying to go back to the Old Testament and to make the center of gathering a place for sight. You could see it, you could smell it, you could walk in and you kind of get goosebumps, right? It's all of this music and chanting and maybe incense or something, and you feel like, man, this is a holy place. That's the Old Testament. We cannot bring it into the New Testament. So what we have in the New Testament, he told us the assembly. He used the word assembly. And when we were reading, if you were reading in the King James translation, the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. The word church, the word assembly, are the same thing. You at school have an assembly, right? Sometimes they call for an assembly. So you have to get out of your class and go to gather together to hear the principal yelling at you or something, or giving you some instruction. So what happened is you go out of your class to go to the principal, where you could hear something. The word assembly is not a building. It's a people. The Greek word, ecclesia, exit and called. Come out. So when you hear the word assembly, it means called out people to a certain purpose. Got it? The word church, the word assembly are the same thing. It's called out people to a center. It's not a building. That center is the Lord Jesus himself. So the word church, the word assembly are the same thing. They are not a building. They are people called out. Just like you heard on the loudspeaker, we have an assembly. And you get out of your classroom to hear some instruction, to gather together for a certain purpose. That is the New Testament. That is the dispensation that he was talking about. I almost just trying to bring back again, underline what Brother Chuck have said already, just to keep that bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Someone may question, and it's okay to do so. I want to tell you it's very right to question. It's right to question anything that any of the leaders among us would say, and to go back to the Word of God so that we know conclusively that it's not what Emil says or John or Chuck or Tony, but it's what the Word of God says. Now, he's mentioned that the assembly is not a building. I want to prove that to you from Scripture. So I'm going to digress to a little verse in Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. And you're going to see conclusively from this verse, there is no argument to it now, that the church cannot be a building. It cannot be a structure. The tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, or the ears of the assembly. Now, how many have seen a building and could describe to me the ears on a building. You say, well, they're not there. There are no ears there. The church is people. The assembly is the people of God. And here's a verse, mark it in your Bible, that proves it to you. So you're not taking it as the word of men. Now, I want to again underline for you that the Lord said here, we'll read these verses again, others were saying many things about the Lord. Some said he was this prophet, some said he was the other. But the Lord Jesus comes back and he says, but whom say ye that I am? Oh, that was the critical point. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, man's instruction, man's teaching, that is not revealed this unto you, Peter, has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This is the point I want to make. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build. Here's another conclusive proof that the church had not been built when Christ was here among the disciples. Keep the thought of a synagogue and the assembly ever separate in your minds. There were synagogues that were here upon the earth at that time. The synagogues were not assemblies. Paul went into the synagogues to preach, we know that. But the church, we see from Scripture, was a future thing that had not been built, and the Lord says, I am going to build that.
Did you hear the last statement? The future building. I will. It's a future tense. Another proof. Put it down on your paper. I will. Church is a future thing. The Lord Jesus is going to build. It was not in the Old Testament.
Just want to tie together a little of what we had yesterday as we look at this question that the Lord asked. He says to Simon, whom do men say that I am? And then in verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? So first of all, there is the question of what do the people say? But then he brings it down to the personal level. And he's asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? And we have just had before us the response of Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was based on the testimony of Peter that the Lord responds to him and says to him, it's upon this testimony that he is the Christ, that he will build that which we just said was future, his assembly. So it's the testimony of the person of the Christ that he is going to do this building. It's the question, whom do you say that I am? And so this is really the very question that came to us yesterday when we had before us the fact that now in the midst of the people, they had said, what happened to Moses? Where'd he go? And we put somebody else in the midst of the people. And so God was rejected from his rightful place. Here in the New Testament, as we've heard, but we have now the Lord Jesus, he is rejected as the king. As we've heard, he's in Caesarea Philippi. He's in a place that is in the furthest, most northerly coast of Israel, but in the land of Israel, but in has the name of the Roman leader, Caesar, and of the name of the current emperor, Philip. And so it was a name that was given that was a name that usurped over the land that God had chosen for his people to place his name there. And so we see him in that rejected place. And so it comes to the point now of individuals. Everybody else has said, we don't want him. And now he says to his disciples, and he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, whom do you say that I am? And as we take up that challenge as to the person of the Christ, and we see what happened yesterday when the golden altar was set in the midst, then it's when we acknowledge the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must acknowledge immediately his rights in the place of his gathered people.